Hello and welcome along to our latest Euro 2024 preview show, brought to you in conjunction with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and Mark Langdon has joined us again to discuss the semi-finals. We're at that stage already of the Euros, but before we go into the games themselves, and we'll also in a moment look at the player of the tournament betting, let's start off with the outright prices now that we've reached the last four. And going on performances, it's probably not a massive surprise to hear that Spain are the favourites at around about 2-1. England then 5-2. France around about 11-4. And the Netherlands 9-2. As I say, Mark, probably not a massive surprise now we're down to the semi-finals to see that Spain are the favourites.
That they have played the best football so far. And no surprise, really. I think that most people are expecting that first semi-final to go a long way to deciding, you know, who wins the tournament. Overall, I think it is interesting, of course, that, you know, if you backed France or England at the start, you know, they were first and second favourites, and we're at the semi-final stage now. There's been a lot of football played, and, like, you know, their prices probably haven't moved as much as their backers would have hoped at this stage. You know, before the last 16, we discussed the tournament, didn't we? And I was sort of saying France to win and Netherlands to come through the other side. So, hoping that from that point of view, that the semi-finals can go well. But it's hard to disagree, I think, with the prices of where they are now. We'll get into the matches individually, but, you know, Spain have been the best team. I'm not certain that they'll beat France, but I'm fairly confident that whoever wins that game probably goes on and wins the tournament.
Funny one, isn't it? Because if you hadn't watched any of the tournament beforehand and somebody had come to you and said, oh, it's Spain v France and England against the Netherlands in the semi-final, there wouldn't be much of a surprise to that, really, to be honest.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, they are four of the bigger nations. Obviously, France have been dominant at tournaments in sort of, you know, under Didier Deschamps, got a very good record of going deep into them. Spain, must admit, they've surprised me. I think looking back now, I just underestimated the quality of those wide players, Yamal and Nico Williams, and kind of what they've brought to the team. England, I mean, had the draw to reach the semi-finals. And Netherlands, an interesting team, really, because actually, I really don't like Ronald Koeman as a manager. And I think that I maybe used that bias against him and them at the start. They were my tip to win the World Cup in Qatar. And that was mainly the reason I sort of couldn't have them on my mind for the Euros was just a big drop off from Louis van Gaal to Ronald Koeman. You look at their team, and actually defensively, that, you know, they've got players that play for Inter, Liverpool and Man City. And then up front, Cody Gakpo's caught fire and is playing very well. I think wary of the midfield because Daroon, Cooper Miners and De Jong all got injured, didn't they, before the start of the tournament. And that's a lot to take out of a team. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, imagine if they were playing. That's probably two of them would be starters. You think, oh, that's a strong team. And Andy Brassell was writing in the Racing Post on Saturday, the European football expert, and he was sort of pointing out that Netherlands have got better players on their bench in defence than England have in their team. And so they're probably not defended as well as those kind of names on the back of the shirt would suggest. I certainly wouldn't have had them at the start of the tournament. When you can kind of go back and sort of then analyse it, sort of what we know now, that was the mistake, kind of. You know, I was so anti-Ronald Koeman that they never really entered my thought process, the Dutch.
Well, it's not a major surprise, considering how they played as well in this tournament, to see that there are a couple of Dutch players, names in and around the top of the betting in terms of the top player at the tournament. Rodri of Spain is currently heading the market around about 9-2, best price on the Manchester City man. Cody Gakpo, Mark mentioned there, you can get about around about 6-1 on him. Jude Bellingham, a similar price, as is Lamine Yamal. Fabian Ruiz, who I think has been absolutely outstanding for Spain, he can be back to around about 12-1. And then you're looking at 14-1. The rest, the likes of N'Golo Kante, Kylian Mbappe, and Danny Olmo, who I know you're a fan of, Mark, as well.
Yeah, I do like Dani Olmo. Obviously, I don't think he's played enough at this tournament to warrant being the player of the tournament. I think Rodri sort of goes about his business in a really tidy way. I mean, he doesn't pick up Premier League Player of the Year awards, does he? And he plays to a similar level. I mean, I don't think Gakpo scored goals and has been a threat. It'd have to be a fairly bad tournament, I think, if he's Player of the Tournament. Jude Bellingham had that sort of one or two moments, but I mean, let's face it, he hasn't been that good. I think Yamal is. I think he wins the young player. I don't know if he wins the main one. So I do agree with Fabian Ruiz. I think he has been absolutely outstanding for Spain. He's a bit more flashy, I suppose, than Rodri. Does more of his work in the final third. So I couldn't put anyone off Fabian Ruiz around about 12 to 1. The one I would sort of give a shout out that we didn't get down to, and it's not Harry Kane, don't worry, at 25 to 1, but William Saliba at 20 to 1. I think France, a lot of focus on what they've not done well, but defensively, they've been superb. And he's been the absolute bedrock of that, really. I think the goalkeeper Manuel's played well as well. But I thought Saliba, and he gets a lot of protection from a defensive midfield, but I thought Saliba at 20 to 1 and Fabian Ruiz at 12 to 1 might be the two to look out for. But it hasn't been a tournament where there's been, you know, one standout player. Maybe the semi-final or the final is where it really sort of gets going. Because, I mean, Donnarumma won the last Euros one, didn't he? And I think that was basically off the penalty shootouts in the semi-final and the final. So it could sort of start now, really. So if Bellingham gets a couple of goals against the Dutch, you know, that might be enough for him. I mean, Yamal, all he's missing really is a goal from his performances. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Fabian Ruiz has been fantastic for Spain. And I'd just chuck Saliba in there as well.
Okay, well, next up, let's preview the two semi-finals. And we'll start off with Tuesday's big clash, 8 p.m. kickoff for Spain against France. It's certainly been a real entertaining show from Spain so far. Not from France, it has to be said, who are still looking for their first goal in open play. Spain around about 13-8 to win this clash. The draw 15-8 and France 21-10. Let's start off with Spain. They clearly have been the best team so far, Mark, but they are having to deal with a few injury and suspension issues going into this.
Yeah, they are. Not ideal that Carvajal and Lenormand are both out, so through suspension. So you're missing, you know, half of your back four there. And the important aspect of that is that I think Nacho is the one that comes in and probably covers either area. And he can't cover both. So whether it's him and Laporte, maybe at centre half, and they bring in Jesus Navas at right back, or maybe you go Nacho there and you bring somebody else in at centre half. But you're right, it's definitely not ideal for a semi-final. And then Pedri, you know, it was a really bad tackle from Toni Kroos on him. Kroos wouldn't be that type of player, but it was a bad moment from him. And, you know, the Euros is going to be poorer for the fact that Pedri is not able to play in that French, against the French, in that Spanish midfield. So yeah, I think that Spain have been the best team. Against Germany, it was a tight game, really. I mean, they looked like the better team for an hour. Then Germany, actually, when they started to throw players forward, I thought that they were the stronger side. And if anybody was going to win it in extra time, to me, it was the Germans. And then Moreno came up with that sort of last gasp winning goal. Even then, though, you know, was it Fulkrug that sort of put that shot wide, really? Yeah. You know, in the 150th minute, it felt like, by the time they'd finished. So, yeah, I think Spain have been the best team. They've put out the hosts. I'm still not 100% on them defensively, and that was when they got their best players out. So it'd be interesting to see whether France can sort of finally come to the party from an attacking point of view.
Yeah, in terms of France so far, you know, they have looked incredibly dull. And I say that as an England fan, bearing in mind that we've been exactly the same. But, you know, in terms of what we know they can offer and the type of player and the quality that they have, then it's just not what we expected. Although I say that, you know, Didier Deschamps has been almost in the Gareth Southgate notebook, been criticised for that sort of play before, Mark, with the ability that he's got in the squad to choose from.
Yeah, I think he's just got, I think they've just got one too many defensive midfielder in there. Like, I think if you play two of Tchouameni, N'Golo Kante, you've also got Rabiot and Camavinga. Like, if you play two of them and Griezmann is that third part of the midfield, and then you get Mbappe on the left, whoever he wants to play through the middle, and Dembele on the right, I think that's the way to go. Or maybe it's Mbappe through the middle and Barcola on the left. But I just think having three defensive midfielders in there, when you've got a centre-half a defensive-minded right-back in Koundé as well, like, it's just one too many. And look, it's working to some extent, not only because they're in the semi-final, but if you look at the sort of the defensive stats, I mean, yeah, they didn't concede against Portugal. They didn't concede against Belgium. They kept a clean sheet against Austria. They kept a clean sheet against the Dutch. The only goal they've conceded is that the pen from Lewandowski, which had to be retaken because Maignan saved it the first time. And that was just an individual error from Upamecano. Against Belgium, they only gave up an XG of 0.2. And, you know, sort of Belgium, Netherlands, they're the sort of teams that have got firepower in them and they've not been able to score. I thought the Portugal game played out pretty much how I expected it to. You know, I think it could have gone either way. I would say I think Portugal are a good side. Apart from Ronaldo, I felt that they were a strong team. So to get past them was important. And you also look at them and you just think, well, if you're not going to concede, you just need one moment from Dembele and Mbappe. The question is just how fit is Mbappe? Because he didn't look amazing, I think it's fair to say, against Portugal.
No, I think he's been quoted as saying that he really doesn't like that mask, and at the first opportunity he will get, he will take it off. I just wonder whether he might actually be tempted to not play with a mask on Tuesday night. We shall see. I suppose a clash of styles then, Mark, overall. If you're looking at it now in the build-up to it, what would be your best bet for this game?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a case for saying, like, the international tournament could do with Spain winning, because if France or England win playing like this, then you hope, well, winners are copied, so you really hope that it doesn't sort of play out like that. But I actually think that the beast might beat beauty in this game. I'm going to go for France to qualify. Before the tournament started, they were seen as a better team as Spain. Now they're not, and I just don't know if I fully agree with that. A lot of focus on the lack of goals, but I do think that France have been very good defensively. Maignan's outstanding in goal. They've proven that they're good at penalties. He's a fantastic saver of penalties as well. So if it goes if it really does go to the distance, and I couldn't rule that out, I feel like I'd fancy France more than Spain. And for all that we focus on France is lack of goals, they've got an XG of 7.9 in this tournament. So they've been wasteful in front of goal. And I think if I can see them frustrating Spain and getting a chance and just winning the game, maybe 1-0 or something like that. So, yeah, I this is a real pick-em game. And I think as outsiders, I'd rather be on France.
That's Mark's thoughts then on the first semi-final. Up next, we'll preview England against the Netherlands. So Wednesday's semi-final then sees England against the Netherlands, an 8 p.m. kickoff. In terms of the prices, England are around about 8-5. It's 11-5, the Dutch, and 15-8, the draw. Let's start with England's performance against Switzerland, Mark. I mean, I was going to say it was improved, but there wasn't much to improve on, to be fair.
No, it was a low bar from where we're starting. I did think it was better, not dramatically so. I mean, it wasn't like watching Brazil in 1982, but there was, I mean, more to like about the performance. But still wasn't much in the way of final third activity, was there? I mean, the Saka goal was England's first shot on target, and it only came about really when Southgate sort of panicked. They went 1-0 down and they realised they needed to step up and sort of play better. And they're almost waiting for that. And you just feel like, well, just play like that from the start and you can just get yourself in front. But yeah, I think the back three helped. And it was a good call by Southgate to keep Saka out on that sort of right wing back slot. I think most people had him down on the left, didn't they? Sort of what they would have preferred. But, you know, he not only got the goal, he looked the biggest danger. And I suppose looking back now, you can understand why he played Trippier on the left, because Ndoye had been, an important player for Switzerland. And I think he wanted a more defensive sort of outlet there. Luke Shaw got some minutes into his legs. I sort of play a pun on his name. I'm not sure I'd start him for a semi-final, given he hasn't started since February, but he's getting there. I think the team will be better once he's in it. Didn't see enough, though, from the front players in terms of Foden. And he gave the ball away a lot. Bellingham, Kane. I'm a big defender of Harry Kane in terms of his playing style. You know, when people say, oh, he's got to stay up front, I don't believe that. And I think that he should drop deep. And I think you take away from his game if you sort of make him stand up front. The problem with Kane is he fit? And if he's not fit, that's on Gareth Southgate to take him out. I mean, I'm definitely not one of those that's like, oh, you've got to drop Kane when he's not scoring. Because I don't think Watkins and Tony are, to be fair, nowhere near as good as Harry Kane. But if he's not fit, that's a completely different argument. And I don't know, Warren. I mean, do you think he looks sort of, he's moving well?
No, I don't. I have to admit, I think probably the second game of the tournament, I remember thinking, I don't think he looks 100% fit here. And that will be my concern. Is Gareth Southgate going to make a big decision like that? I mean, you know, there are other questions about fitness that have to be made as well. Somebody has got to answer at the end of this tournament why Luke Shaw was in the squad. We were told that he will be playing from the second game of the group stage, and we've not seen him until that Switzerland game coming on as a sub. So I think there's quite a lot of fitness questions that have to be asked in terms of that. The one plus that we can take from it, Mark, is that how good England look at penalties, because if it does go all the way, you would strongly fancy them now.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair point. I mean, Pickford has always looked, I was going to say dangerous, but you know what I mean? Like, he looked like he's going to save.
Yeah, you expect him to save one.
Yeah. And he has done in every, every time England have gone the distance under Southgate, he's made an impact in the shootout. And you, Warren, will remember when, David Batty and Jamie Carragher were being forced up really to take penalties in previous England sort of disappointments in shootouts. Now you look at it, and I mean, Kane wasn't even on the pitch, and he's a fantastic penalty taker. But Cole Palmer, he doesn't look, he's definitely not getting flustered, is he, Cole Palmer? No. Ivan Toney with the no look pen. Just as he was about to take it, I said to my wife, like, Thomas, his manager says he's best penalty taker in the world, and she couldn't believe it, like, she barely even heard his name, but he just doesn't look like he's going to miss them. I mean, Trent, his technique is so good, isn't it? That you felt confident with him. Yeah, I mean, Saka bounced back. Well, it wasn't a Stuart Pearce-like celebration with his sort of the bounce-back ability of that. But yeah, I mean, all of them are sort of comfortable and confident at spot kicks. Bellingham, you know, we've seen him score them for Real Madrid as well. So there's a lot of depth to the penalty sort of taking of England. And you would feel much more confident now if they were to sort of go all the way against Netherlands. It might go that distance. I think I would fancy them on penalties. I think that Pickford has shown up. He's better than Peter Shilton, isn't he, at penalties. Shilton's dived out the way of them in Italian 90, it felt like. And if you put them player for player, the Dutch and England on pens, I'd make England reasonable favourites if it went all the way.
I think the fact that Gareth Southgate was almost pushed himself into taking a penalty when there were other options probably helps that scenario. In terms of the Dutch overall, we've spoken a little bit about, you know, how they performed to date. And you mentioned about maybe Ronald Koeman holding them back slightly. But as this tournament has gone on, and that's exactly what you look for, I suppose, as a manager, they have got better as it's progressed.
Yeah, I think they have. And it might just be that they were in a strong group. I felt they played well against Poland. The stats didn't necessarily sort of bear that out. And I was listening and listening to a couple of other podcasts and sort of reading reports. And there was like a negativity around them once they beat Poland. And I couldn't understand that. I thought that they played well and just missed chances. Then they had the 0-0 with France, which, you know, you take any day of the week, really. I mean, we didn't know that France were so weak in attack. They lost to Austria. It was a gung-ho game. I think that group might have just been sort of one of the stronger ones. At the Euros, the performance worked out pretty well, even though Austria went home early. I think we can all say that, you know, that they were probably better than where they actually went out. And, you know, you look at it then, Romania, never in doubt. They played well in that game. Turkey, I mean, that was a hard game because it would have felt like an away game at times, given how many Turkish fans there were in Berlin. Incredible noise. They've gone 1-0 down. Koeman made substitutions, particularly with Weghorst coming on, and it worked. And they've got something, really, that you'd certainly say that England and France haven't got, and that's an attacking threat. And, you know, Koeman, when he's making changes, if you think back to the game against Romania, he brought on Marlon, didn't he? And he got two goals. So, Simons against France had an impact in that game. The one player that hasn't really shown up for them so far is Memphis. I mean, he's having a lot of shots, but without the goals. But it doesn't matter because Gakpo is, and he's taken on that responsibility. Even if he's not scoring, he's looking dangerous, really, out on that left flank. So interesting to see how he goes with Liverpool next season. You know, Klopp tried him in midfield. That you know, I think that was unfair, really. He's not a midfielder. I'm not sure they wanted him to be that kind of Firmino type player, didn't they? Yeah. But I'm not sure that's him either. He is a left winger, which creates a problem because it also looks like that's where Diaz does his best work as well. But that's one for Arne Slot to sort out. He's been good. I think this is a tight game, Warren, really, between two sides that have got flaws, but have got match winners in them as well.
Yeah, and you don't know which England's going to turn up. We shall see. In terms of your best bet for this game, Mark, where are you going?
I'm
going
to go for Netherlands, draw no bet, around about 6-5. I know you said you're not sure what England's going to turn up. I mean, I'm fairly certain what England's going to turn up. I don't think it'll be that different to Slovakia and Switzerland. I mean, and they scored with their first shot on target late on in both games against Slovakia and Switzerland. I think Netherlands are better than both of them teams. And so this is another step up for England. Not a massive one, but I still think it's a step up on what they've played so far. And Netherlands have scored at least twice in every game apart from the France one when they got a 0-0 draw against them. So, I mean, France have sort of shown, OK, they haven't got that much up front, but it's still that was a good point for Netherlands. And, yeah, as I mentioned, the draw no bet rather than to qualify, because I think if it does go beyond 90 minutes and we do get to a penalty shootout, I would rather be on England at that point. So I'd rather just take that out of the equation and go 90 minutes. But, yeah, I don't think this is far off a pick'em game, so I'll go for the Dutch.
And Mark, if you've been joining us throughout our Euro 2024 updates, has been giving you bet builders, particularly for the England matches in recent rounds. And you've got another one for us, Mark, for the semi-final.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go for Virgil van Dijk to be carded. Obviously, the cards are white at this stage now. Mm. So as long as you don't get sent off, you'll be able to play in the final. He's committed 12 fouls at the tournament, Van Dijk, which is a lot for somebody that, you know, you go on about how he doesn't get dribbled past. He's only picked up one card, but he'll be sort of defending that left-hand side where Bellingham, sort of the England right, where Bellingham and Saka like to combine. So he might have a tough job there. And I mentioned Bellingham. I'm going to go for Bellingham to commit a foul. Now, England haven't actually committed that many fouls in the tournament, but Bellingham is the sort of joint most from an English point of view with five. He's made 11 tackles, so he's somebody that's involved in the game. And you know, he was on his best behaviour. He didn't want to get sort of suspended for the semi-final against Switzerland. He can be have a bit more devilment in him now. So I'm going to go for Van Dijk to be carded, Bellingham to commit a foul, and then finally Memphis Depay, a shot on target. He's had 17 shots at the Euros. Only three of them have been on target, but that's a bit of a freak, I think. 17.6 sort of percentage rate. Yeah, that is a fluke, and it won't take much, actually. As long as the volume's there, I mean, the shots on target will start to pick up. And if you look at his XG, it's actually two. It's almost double that of Cody Gakpo. Now, Gakpo's sort of leading the way in terms of the golden boot, and Memphis is only on one goal. But I mean, he's been getting in the positions, just been wayward finishing. So just to repeat that, a Van Dijk card, Memphis Depay shot on target, and a Bellingham foul comes out about 14-1.
Great. Thanks very much indeed, Mark. Two big semi-finals to look forward to then this week. Spain against France on Tuesday, England against the Netherlands on Wednesday. For the time being, it's goodbye from myself and Mark. We'll be back to preview the final, of course, of Euro 2024. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment. Plus, also check out the latest episode of The Sweet Spot this week. Steve Palmer and Dave Clark will be looking ahead to the Scottish Open, amongst other things. So if you're into your golf betting, certainly check that out. And we'll be back, as I say, on Thursday to discuss the final and a review of the tournament. So enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.